That was naughty. Oh, dear. Mother of teens. Okay. Let's move on to scripture, everyone. Oh, gosh. If you'd like to follow along with me, we're going to turn in the Bible to the Old Testament, to Isaiah. We're looking at chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. And that's page 635 of your pew Bible. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. O holy and glorious God, open our eyes and our hearts to receive your personal message to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. At about this time last year, a deeply in love couple in their early 30s got married. The groom used to live in New Zealand and would like to show his new bride the beautiful country he has spent his university years. So 3 months after the wedding, they went to New Zealand for a vacation with the bride's parents and her younger sister. Yes, Clara is very close to her family, and they like to go on trips together. The family of five set out on a scenic drive around noon of April 21st, 2008. And as they were chatting, laughing, and admiring the beautiful shoreline from the winding road, the car suddenly lost control, and they just crossed to the traffic on the opposite side and head-on collided with a four-wheel drive. Clara's beloved husband, father, mother, sister, all died on the impact. She was the sole survivor in the accident, seriously injured and left in a foreign land. You and I may be more fortunate that we do not have loved ones that passed away suddenly, at least not all of them at the same time. But we may receive unfavorable health reports like Rena. We may receive sudden news of being laid off, discovery of spouse being unfaithful, or in danger of imminent loss of business or residence due to the financial crash. And for Isaiah, the day that changed his life was 740 BC, when King Uzziah died. Uzziah had ruled Judah, the southern kingdom, for 52 years, and he came to the throne at a difficult time. But he had turned many crises into victories. He was a godly man and revived the country spiritually. The nation prospered under his leadership. His reign is marked by some great accomplishments and victories. He built towers in the desert
and dug wells for people raising livestock and keeping vineyards. He had a huge army with highly trained and well-equipped fighting men. Uzziah had shields, spears, helmets, bows, and slings to cast stones. And he made siege engines to be on towers and upon the walls to shoot arrows and great stones at any enemy. He defeated Judah's arch enemy, the Philistines. And in 2 Chronicles 26, we are told that Uzziah's fame spread even to the border of Egypt. But in his advanced years, pride filled his heart and he strayed far from the Lord. But because Judah had known no king like Uzziah since Solomon, they still placed their hopes and dreams on this king. They considered Uzziah their provider and their protector. But King Uzziah was now dead. His armies no more. And the enemies were threatened at the gate. Who could Judah turn to? What should they do? Have you ever felt that desperation? That someone or something that you have put your source to counted as your source of support, your answers to all problems, but they dissolve or disappear in a second? Chaos can enter into the calmness of our lives in the twinkling of an eye. In this passage, we read, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne." King Uzziah had died, but the divine king was alive. Our God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is alive and sitting high up on throne and lifted up. Some people, including some powerful, wealthy individuals, can only see what is tangible and become hopeless when the circumstances change. Hit by the financial tsunami, many broken billionaires cannot bear it. As you may know, just a few days ago, German billionaire Adolf Merkel, who was 94th on the Forbes wealthiest person list in the world, threw himself onto an upcoming train. And another property tycoon shot himself to death in his Jaguar in Chicago. All because they cannot handle the failure in their businesses as a result of the financial crisis. But Clara, a young woman at the age of 33, said at the memorial service, "If there can only be one survivor in this accident, as difficult as it is, I am willing to be the one. Because if my husband was to be the only survivor, he would live in guilt for the rest of his life, no matter whether it was his fault or not, for killing me and my family. If my father or my mother would be the only survivor, they would have a hard time recovering from the loss of losing both daughters, their all in all. And if my younger sister was to be the only survivor, it would be too big a blow for her. She was the baby in the family. My God is with me, and I now have much to live for because I am to fulfill the dreams and hopes of my family." Wow. What wisdom, what courage, that it cannot be coming from a person but have to be from God. Clara sees beyond death. She sees the living God who is in control. She sees her God who continues to walk with her and protect her. Isaiah, in his sorrow of losing King Uzziah, also saw God. He saw the glory of God. And seems like seeing through a curtain, Isaiah caught a glimpse of God's nature and character. Isaiah saw God high and lifted up on a throne, shining above the brightness of the sun, and surrounded by seraphs, angelic beings, worshiping and singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." In Hebrew, there's no word for more or most. And so when God's holiness is described with the threefold acclamation, it is the strongest superlative available in the Hebrew language. The holiness of God is impossible to be described. The experience is too awesome. It's too majestic to tell, but can only be felt. Isaiah lost his earthly king, but he caught a fresh glimpse of the divine king, and his life was never the same. What about us? What do we see? Do we just see chaos in our lives that are threatening us? Or do we, like Isaiah and Clara, who can see the glory of God, see the God of order and sovereign authority ruling over the affairs of the earth? The throne in Judah was vacant, but the throne in heaven was occupied. If only we could see with our spiritual eyes, but not just with our physical eyes, our perspective and outlook in life will be radically different. As Isaiah observed the majesty of God, he also sees himself in a new light. He exclaims, "Woe is me, I'm lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips." When placed in the presence of the infinite, eternal, infallible God, he realizes that he is finite, mortal, and fallible. And this is always true. The closer we get to God, the more clearly we see our sins. The contrast between his holiness and our unholiness gives us a vivid awareness of just how far short of God's glory we fall. The times when we feel we have made it, we have arrived, we are knocking at the door of perfection, they are the times that we may have been neglecting in prayer and worship. Simon Peter had a similar experience as Isaiah. When he was closest to Jesus as he witnessed the miracle of the big catch after a long night of no fish, he fell down and said to Jesus, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." St. Augustine says, "Before God can deliver us from ourselves, we must undeceive ourselves. Before God can deliver us from ourselves, we must undeceive ourselves." It is usually in times of adversity, it really shows us who we are and what we are made of. It always brings out the worst or the best in us. Often, we attribute a bad circumstance to someone or to God, and we believe that the cause of the mishaps can be anything but me. True, we are not responsible for all calamities. Being laid off or losing a business because of the downturn of the economy is beyond our control. But in handling relationships and business, there are always room to reflect and areas to improve. It is not Clara's fault that her family members got killed. She can choose to blame God, blame others. She can choose to be depressed or feeling bitter. But she chooses to trust God and live with a grateful heart. But some people never grow up. They get prideful in prosperity and bitter in poverty. A lost sense of God brings a lost sense of sin, but a renewed sense of God brings a renewed awareness of our own sinfulness. Like Isaiah, we cannot benefit from an experience unless and until we humble ourselves before God, reflect, repent, and respond. Having said that, We do not want to go to the other extreme and beat ourselves to death. Notice that Isaiah does not say, "Woe to me, I'm worthless." The scripture never teaches that a person is worthless. In fact, Jesus taught quite the opposite. He said, "What a pity it is for a man to gain the whole world but lose himself." And that is how valuable a person is. Even the world, with all its wealth and glamour, it is not worth the life of a single individual. It is the recognition that some people commit suicide because they equate failures to worthlessness. But what Isaiah realizes is, "Woe to me, I am lost, I am defiled." He recognizes that the cause of the problem is himself, and he needs God. When we see ourselves in this light, thank God, for it is the beginning of healing. But God does not just want us to realize that we are sinful. If all we ever see is our weaknesses without discovering the cleansing power of God, what miserable people we will be. But God has the power to cleanse. A live coal, a burning coal from the altar was brought by the seraphs to touch the lips of Isaiah. And note that the altar that the live coal was taken from was the altar of burnt offerings. The altar where blood was shed. The place where the priest would kill the non-blemished lamb to pay for the sins of the people. It foresees the one who had to lay down his life that we might be forgiven. It speaks of the cost of redemption, the cost of forgiveness. So there was a piece of coal prepared by both blood and fire. Blood, because only blood can wash us away our sin. And fire, because of its refining and purifying power. For fire takes the dross out of metals. Metals that go through fire, refined and become silver or gold. When God saves us, what does he do? He applies to our lives the cleansing power of the precious blood of his Son Jesus, and washes away our sins, and then sets us in the way of a whole new life, being refined by the workings of the Spirit of holiness, and we begin to live a life of righteousness. God calls us righteous because of the blood of his Son. And then he makes us righteous through the working of his Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit. Life-giving and life-sustaining powers can only come from God. Government agencies, social workers, psychiatrists, educators can try, but they cannot change the heart of man with their programs of reform. Only God can revolutionize a person and make him or her a new creation. A few days ago, I received a CV from an inmate looking for a job because he may receive an early work release in a few months. Bill joined the triad and became involved in drugs at age 16. And at age 24, he was arrested at the Bangkok International Airport on trafficking of dangerous drugs and was given a life sentence. During his first 8 years of prison, he felt completely lost, bereft of hope, and didn't know where to turn to. He came to know Jesus through a Christian friend in prison and committed to Christ. He felt great remorse and asked God to forgive him. And for the first time in his life, he felt peace. He gave up drugs and cursing and was even able to stop smoking with God's help after many years of trying unsuccessfully to quit on his own. He managed to receive a certificate on administration management and marketing management and took also two Bible courses through correspondence. In 2007, Bill was able to transfer back to Hong Kong and also received a reduced sentence. And now, he even has a chance to receive an early work release. Purification is not a painless process. It comes through fire. But new life is possible under the cleansing power of the All-Almighty God. If God can cleanse and offer a new life to a person giving life sentence, how much more hopeful is your situation? Finally, Isaiah saw the world. Isaiah got in with God and heard God's heartbeat for a lost and dying world. He heard God's summons for a messenger to reach out to him, to them. God said, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Isaiah immediately said, "Here am I, send me." Would God call a sinful person to preach his message? A man of unclean lips? Scripture frequently uses the symbol of the lips or the tongue as revealing what is in the heart. In the book of Proverbs, it says, "Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks." So a man of unclean lips therefore means a person with unclean thoughts. Would God send such a person? God has not committed his glorious gospel to sinless angels, but to fallen men. Yes, God will send sinners to go for him. But God sends us after we have been cleansed of our sins by his grace. The message of God must be spoken through purged lips. The word of God must be poured forth from clean vessels. Our past will not exclude us from being used by God, but how we are living today might. Your king Uzziah may have died, and you feel a bit lost. Behold, the divine king is alive. He was dead. He died on the cross for our sins. But he rose from the grave and he lives today and he lives forever. This morning, I want you to let your hearts look upward to God. To God who is lifted high and on the throne. And hear the angels sing, "Holy, holy, holy." And then you look inward to see yourselves as you truly are. Be convicted and be cleansed. And you look outward to see the harvest field of the world ripe for harvest. Will you answer God's call this morning? Come, have an encounter with God and experience change. Let's pray.